Welcome to the Head to Heal podcast, where you'll go head over heels learning about how the body and the brain work together to either feed disease or fight it. I'm your host, Jordana Sade, certified holistic nutritionist and founder of the Mindful Clinic. With a background in nutrition, behavioral neuropsychology, and hypnosis, I'm going to walk you through the root cause of your symptoms and disordered behaviors. The body has an innate ability to heal. No one is destined for illness, and most, if not all, disorders can be reversed. Come with me as we develop a new understanding of how you can use your head to heal and truly thrive. Hey everyone, welcome back to the Head to Heal podcast on the new segment, What's Up, with Jordana Sade, clinical nutritionist and hypnotherapist. I want to preface this episode and all future episodes by saying that I'm not a medical doctor and you should always seek help from a physician before beginning any new health regime. Okay, guys, today we are moving on to the second fat-soluble vitamin, and this is vitamin D, also known as the sunshine vitamin. So vitamin D is actually produced in the body from cholesterol, which is really important to understand because I think cholesterol has a really bad reputation, when in actual reality, we need cholesterol in order to convert vitamin D. So basically, when the sun hits our skin, the ultraviolet light essentially is going to hit our skin, and that is going to convert cholesterol to vitamin D. So there are inactive forms and active forms of vitamin D. You might have heard of D2 versus D3. D3 is the most active and bioavailable form for human beings. So most supplementation will be in a D3 format. Sometimes plant-based vitamin D is in a D2 format, but then likely it will already have been converted because I'm sure the supplement companies know what they're doing for the most part. Okay, moving on. So I know a lot of you guys know about vitamin D. We here in Canada, we need a lot of vitamin D in the winter because we have very long and arduous winters and very short times for sunshine. So vitamin D is really important, as most of you guys know, for mental health, but it has a lot of other uses as well. So the first thing that I want to talk about with vitamin D is its ability to help with mineral metabolism. So this is going to promote calcium, the absorption of calcium from the gut, which is going to regulate the way that calcium and phosphorus behave in the bloodstream. So this is really important for like bone building. So when we think about bone building, especially in children, when, you know, we're literally building bones, more so when we're in adulthood, there is like catabolism and anabolism happening in the bones. So basically like the bones are going to break down to build up, and we need vitamin D for that process. And because when we get to calcium, which will be on another topic, but calcium is one of those, like what I like to call stupid nutrients. Calcium has no idea what to do or where it's going. So calcium on its own is actually not going to build the bones. You need calcium plus vitamin D plus magnesium plus vitamin K2 in order to actually get that calcium into the bone. So vitamin D is really important for that calcium metabolism. Vitamin D is also going to prevent the excretion of calcium from the kidneys. So this means that we're not going to lose as much calcium, and we're going to be able to utilize as much calcium as possible, ideally going into the bones. This is also going to help prevent from things like calcified joints or developing kidney stones. And so without vitamin D, calcium alone can create actually a lot of problems. When I was learning about holistic nutrition, I remember learning in fundamentals class with Paul DeMita. He's amazing. And he would tell us that there are three nutrients that are most commonly, you know, in excess when it comes to cancer, and that's calcium, iron, and copper. So we definitely want to be careful. And when we talk about, and we're not talking about calcium right now, but when we do talk about calcium, I'll explain why dairy can actually cause more of an issue than good when it comes to calcium. And a lot of this is because of that calcium to phosphorus ratio, but also because vitamin D is not as prevalent as calcium or phosphorus in that product. So as mentioned before, vitamin D is really important for bone building, specifically with vitamin K2, but we also need to remember our teeth are an extension of our bones. So when we have low vitamin D, our teeth might be a little bit more sensitive, our enamel might be a little bit thinner, as well as we might be more prone to developing things like cavities or the need for root canals. The third place where vitamin D is really beneficial is in the nervous system. So I know that when we think about the nervous system, we often think about mental health, but the nervous system is also very closely related to our vascular system. So vitamin D is really important for how the nervous system functions, including the peripheral nerves. So like things like movement, as well as the vascular system, you know, prevention from atherosclerosis, cardiovascular disease, all of these things. It really just helps with promotion of blood flow, which is one of the reasons why when we get enough blood flow to the brain can like think and compute properly. But because vitamin D is a fat-soluble vitamin, and it's used from cholesterol. And cholesterol is also the precursor to many of our steroidogenic hormones. Vitamin D kind of behaves like a hormone. So I recommend actually taking vitamin D with dinner so it can convert overnight with the other prostaglandin chart and all the other hormones. However, if you are going to be getting sunlight, like in that day, vitamin D is best taken in the morning so that the sun can activate it. Because if you're taking vitamin D supplementally, it doesn't necessarily mean that it's being absorbed into your system. So I'll come back to that in a sec, but let's continue talking about the nervous system. So because it behaves like a hormone, it's also going to help with the ability to produce things like neurotransmitters. So that's like serotonin, dopamine. This is one of the reasons why, in addition to the extra blood flow to the brain, that vitamin D does help with elevating our moods and preventing from us developing some of the mental health disorders like depression, et cetera. So specifically, vitamin D is really important to prevent seasonal affect disorder. So that's a SAD disorder, which is really prevalent in wintertime, especially in places that they're not getting enough sunlight, as well as being able to support any of the mental health disorders and reduce risk of depression. Another area where vitamin D is really important is with the immune system. So when we take vitamin D, because it is also an antioxidant, it is going to help to boost our immune system. So our immune system can naturally take care of some of the things that get in its way. So like pathogens, like viruses, or, you know, candida or parasites. Vitamin D is really important for building up the immune system. But it's also really great if you have an autoimmune disorder, right? So when we have an autoimmune disorder, often the immune system is hyperactive, which means that it's like hypervigilant. It's overactive in an autoimmune disorder. And so anything that will like enhance the immune system if you have an autoimmune disorder is usually contraindicated because we don't want to over-enhance something that is already over-enhanced. However, vitamin D has this like modulating effect with the immune system. So if you are hyper or if you have an autoimmune disorder, your immune system is overactive, vitamin D can help to normalize it, can help to bring it down. As well as if you are low, if your immune system is underactive, it can help to bring it back up. So vitamin D has this amazing modulating effect that can happen simultaneously. So it's not like you need to take a certain kind to bring it down or a certain kind to bring it up. It will literally get in your system and like detect what needs to happen and just do that for you. So vitamin D is really important if you have an autoimmune disorder, anything related to the immune system. I'm sure obviously with like COVID and everything, everybody was like upping their vitamin D. And yes, of course, it's not the full picture of the immune system, but because it has this modulating effect, there really is no reason why we shouldn't be taking it. Now, if you live somewhere where you get enough sunlight, and when I'm talking about sunlight, I'm talking about like at least an hour to 2 hours in like very skimpy clothing, like skimpy bathing suit is the recommendation. Like you can't be wearing in the fall a sweater and a hat and pants and like be out in the sun and expect to really absorb vitamin D. You have to be pretty much uncovered, and sunscreen will actually prevent that process. And so we'll talk in a second about sunscreen, but I usually don't recommend it. But if you are in a place where you are getting enough sunlight, supplementing with vitamin D, it doesn't necessarily need to happen. It's only when we aren't exposed to that sunlight. And, you know, because vitamin D can accumulate, it's fat soluble, which means that it can accumulate in the tissues. We're not going to be peeing it out like water soluble vitamins. There is a toxicity level. So when we get into the toxicity section, you'll understand what the signs and symptoms are if you have toxicity. It's very rare, but because vitamin D can build up in the system over the winter time, you might not necessarily feel a seasonal affect disorder or SAD in like late November or maybe even early December, especially with the holidays, right? But getting into like January and February and even March here in Canada, where there just is no sun and it's so cold, those are the times when we really want to start supplementing. Okay, so some of the disorders or physical uses that you would do with vitamin D is like osteoporosis, of course, because it's really helpful with building the bones. Any autoimmune disorders, so we're talking psoriasis, rickets, also things like diabetes. Vitamin D is really important for diabetes. Anything that's like hormonal, especially because vitamin D uses cholesterol, and cholesterol is the precursor to all of our steroidogenic hormones. So vitamin D really behaves very similarly to a hormone. Menopausal symptoms, vitamin D is really helpful for any mental health disorder, colds and flus, anything related to the immune system, and then cancer. So like I said, just a very big reminder that I am not a medical professional and you should always seek help from a medical professional before like implementing anything, especially with something as serious as cancer. But when they did studies on vitamin D and how it helps cancer, if we get vitamin D levels up above 105 in the bloodstream, 25% of cancer simply goes away. And so, I mean, it's not the full picture again, but it's really helpful for the immune system to be able to go and like eliminate some of the malignant cells and some of the root causes for how something like cancer would develop. So vitamin D is really important for cancer patients. And it's also, like I said, important for any autoimmune condition. So we're talking like Graves' disease, Hashimoto's, like any autoimmune disorder. Okay, so let's talk about absorbing vitamin D from the sun. So like I mentioned, vitamin D needs to be, you basically need to be completely naked or wearing a very skimpy bathing suit in order to actually absorb enough vitamin D. And this can happen in 20-minute intervals. So a lot of these sunscreens contain cancer ingredients or cancer promoting ingredients. And so I typically don't recommend sunscreen, even if it is like a natural sunscreen, especially because all we really need to do is build up the body to be able to stay in the sun. Now, if you are somebody who burns very easily, of course you are going to want to implement sunscreen. Like I don't want you sitting outside for 2 hours and burning and then like have the potential of like developing skin cancer or something. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying here is that it's actually very easy to build up the skin's resistance to the sun. And this can happen in 20-minute increments. So if you were to, you know, on a warm day, go outside between the hours of like 12 p.m. and 2 p.m. in the summer, go outside for 20 minutes and then go into the shade for about an hour and then go back into the sun for another 20 minutes. And you do this kind of over the course of a couple weeks and you will build up the skin's resilience to the sun as well as you'll be able to absorb vitamin D properly, right? Whereas if the sun comes up at summertime and we start loading on the sunscreen, then you're actually preventing the body from being able to produce it naturally. And so not to mention also most sunscreens contain cancer ingredients. So we would definitely want to try and be able to have like naked exposure to the sun. Again, if you're somebody who burns very easily, like use at your discretion. And after that 20-minute interval, if you're going to be outside all day, like feel free to put sunscreen on. Try and go with one of the more natural brands, like the Healthy Beaver is a good one. I even like La Roche-Posay. It's not necessarily like a super green product, but it does have very good ingredients. And I find it's really nice for my skin. So I would go that route. And then the final thing I want to say about absorbing vitamin D through the sun is that if we have antioxidants in the body, the sun is going to hit us differently. It's going to affect the skin differently. So, you know, because sun exposure, especially at too detrimental levels, can be oxidative, right? So that's where the skin cancer is coming from. There's too many oxidants. There's too much oxidation happening, and there isn't enough antioxidants to come to that rescue. So if we already have a system that has all the antioxidants it needs in it, then you're actually going to burn less, right? So because there's not going to be so much oxidation, and the body can like literally heal and repair after that sun exposure. So we're talking antioxidant vitamins are vitamin A, ACEs, so A, C, E, selenium, and zinc. Okay, so like I mentioned before, vitamin D is a fat-soluble vitamin, which means that it does get stored in the body and there is toxicity levels. So with vitamin D, it's going to be stored in the liver, so we definitely want to be mindful. However, most of us are all so depleted in vitamin D that it's really not too much to worry about. But high supplementation of vitamin D can also lead to excess calcium, right? So, and this is like undesirable calcification in tissue. So remember how I was like vitamin D can prevent from calcified joints or prevent from kidney stones. If we have an excess of vitamin D, it can actually have the opposite effect. So we definitely want to, first of all, be testing for where our vitamin D levels are. And if you're in Canada or also in the States, but in Canada where healthcare is free, vitamin D, you actually do have to pay for that test. Don't ask me why. Couldn't tell you. It's almost like the government doesn't want us to be healthy, but that's a topic for a whole other day. But you want to check your vitamin D levels and you want to make sure that we are in the like 75 to 105 range, I would say, for like the average person. If you have something going on like cancer or an autoimmune disorder, that range will definitely change. But high supplementation of vitamin D can lead to calcified joints. It can get stored in the liver. And then it can also lead to something called ergocalciferol, which is the most synthetic form, which means that it can lead to the greatest toxicity levels. So if you have a deficiency in vitamin C, what it's going to look like is, of course, mental health disorders are one of the first things that you'll see, but also like rickets in children. I'm not sure if you know what rickets are, but it's basically like malformation of the bones in children, specifically in their legs. Like you'll see they have kind of this like half moon shape, as well as osteoporosis in the elderly. You might have like bone-related sensitive teeth, et cetera. But I think that the mental health one is one of the first things that we see with vitamin D deficiency or, you know, like autoimmune disorders, chronic illness, that type of thing. Signs of toxicity, however, are things like diarrhea, nausea, excessive thirst, and excessive urination. So when we talk about dosing with vitamin D, this is a tricky subject because the RDA is like very specific about vitamin D, which is one of the reasons why I'll never be regulated. Because once I am, I have to abide by the government's rules. And the government says that 1,000 IU of vitamin D a day is enough. Now, if I'm working with somebody who has a mental health disorder, I'm going up to like 10,000, sometimes even 50,000. It really just depends on the case. With cancer, I would say up to 50,000. Again, like talk to a doctor. But if you were working in my practice with me, it would be a different story. But just giving recommendations like this on the podcast can be kind of dangerous. So I really want you guys to like take this seriously and definitely seek out help from a practitioner. So however, if you're just doing this for maintenance and health in the wintertime, I usually do up to 5,000 IU of vitamin D. I don't really supplement anything under 5,000 IU of vitamin D. You definitely want vitamin D to be in a liquid form, especially because it's fat soluble, which just means that we need the gallbladder. We need bile in order to emulsify the fat. So if there's any issues with the gallbladder, like if you've had the gallbladder removed, or if you notice that you can't digest fats properly, for example, if your stool floats, that's a really good sign that your gallbladder is not really working properly. You're not producing enough bile. And so because vitamin D is fat soluble, we need bile in order to emulsify the fat and to absorb vitamin D. And this actually goes for all fat soluble vitamins. So vitamin A, vitamin D, vitamin E, and vitamin K will not be absorbed properly if the gallbladder and like digestive system does not function. So with that being said, let's say the gallbladder is working fine and, you know, we're just doing this for maintenance. We're not necessarily talking about like something like an autoimmune condition or cancer, more so for mental health or just like general health. 5,000 IU of vitamin D is great. In the wintertime, I would take it with dinner, and you want it in a liquid form because in a capsule, it's again, it's just adding one extra thing that the body has to break down. And so in a liquid form, you're absorbing it almost immediately in the mouth. And I have a few favorite supplement companies that do this, like CanPrev does a really good vitamin D. One thing you want to note when you're buying a vitamin D is make sure that it's 1,000 IU per drop, not per dropper, or you're going to be standing there all day, like taking these huge dropperfuls of vitamin just to get to 5,000, right? So when we do it where it's 1,000 IU per drop, the CanPrev one is per drop. I also like GNA Naturals. I like the CanPrev one more because the fat, like the fatty acid that's associated with it in order to like keep it there with the vitamin D is MCT oil, which is very, very safe. It's like low in pesticides and also it's pretty good for the body. Whereas GNA Naturals uses sunflower oil. It's a little bit oxidative. Sunflower oil can be a little inflammatory. However, it is a much better like deal to get the GNA natural ones versus the vitamin D from CanPrev. So I'll leave you guys with that. You guys can figure out if you have like further questions, feel free to message me. If you have a disorder and you want to work on recovering that disorder, the best thing for you to do is to fill out an application to work with me or to book a discovery call so I can see exactly what's going on. And if it's not my specialty or if there's somebody else that I know that can help you better, I will always refer out. Okay. And then I also just want to let you guys know some food sources of vitamin D. So like I said, remember there's D2 and D3. And when I was talking about like that city levels, ergocalciferol is the preform of vitamin D. So this is the most synthetic. It is a plant source. And that's where we're getting vitamin D2, right? So that if we have too much vitamin D2, that's when we can develop a lot of toxicity because it's not in its correct form versus vitamin D3, which is cholecalciferol. And this is more an animal source and our body makes it itself like from sunlight. So when you're looking for a supplement, you would definitely want to make sure that it says vitamin D3, but very, very few and far in between have vitamin D2. It's mostly for plant-based, like people who are vegan. And in vitamin D2, the best sources are mushrooms, dark leafy greens, and fortified milks and cereals, which I would never recommend. That's where you're getting your supplements from. Obviously, it's fortified, so it's like very synthetic, right? And so then if we were going to get vitamin D from like D3, the active form from food, we're looking at pink salmon, which is one of the reasons why salmon is so beneficial for mental health. We're looking at sardines, mackerel, egg yolks, and even soy products, especially if it's organic soy, so non-GMO soy. But you can also just go outside and expose your beautiful body to the sunlight. Okay. Well, that was so fun. I'm so glad we're doing this What's Up segment. I hope that you guys learned something today. If you like this segment, please don't forget to like and subscribe and share this information with somebody who needs it. I will see you guys next time on another episode of the Head to Heel Podcast. Bye.